You're good to go?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And today I have a great guest. I'm so excited to have her on because we have a pelvic expert on today, which is a topic that we all need to be familiar with. And she has this great book. It says Things Every Girl Should Know About Her Body. Again, this is a book I think every girl needs to have, but every woman needs to have, because honestly, I'm learning a lot from her book as well. I have the great Richa Rayanne with me. And before we start about talking her book, we're going to go over basically a lot of things that our daughters should know and we should know as well. So thank you so much, Richa, for coming on today. I'm really excited to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, before we get started, can you kind of tell us a little bit of your story and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Richa Rehan. I'm a physiotherapist by profession. I'm an entrepreneur. I have a few physiotherapy clinics in Eastern Ontario. But I grew up in India. I studied in India. Grew up in a typical South Asian family, didn't grow up talking a lot about the body, which we typically call the private parts, which are not supposed to be private parts. Grew up in a society where most of the girls, they don't talk about the period, pregnancy issues, painful sex, and forget about the menopause. So I felt like these were the topics which were never discussed in the family, in the school, in the society, nowhere around me. So I moved to Canada in 2010, and then I started my physiotherapist journey up here.
Nice. You've been busy.
Yes, and I have a 6-year-old, so like 5-year-old turning 6 this year. So yes. Busy in between the clinics, raising my daughter, and being an author.
No, yes, the author is going to keep you busy as well. I just got back from my book launch, and actually my book board just fell off behind me. I just put it back on quickly, but I wanted to know from your experience, because this is a topic, like you say, there's a wide spectrum of families of whether we don't talk about anything or we talk about everything. That's the kind of family portrait that I had. My mom was a nurse, and she just made sure that her daughters knew everything as much as she could back in the day. But from your experience, at what time should we start talking to our daughters about their bodies?
So it's like it's never too early. It's like this is like the like we have to go with the age appropriate education. Like if I talk about the 2 or 3 year old, when we are like when they are at the 2, 3 year old, they need to know the correct name for their body parts. They need to know this is vulva, this is penis, this is vagina, uterus. When we are calling them by other different names, it's almost we are creating this shame around it that oh, we are not supposed to say these names. We are not supposed to talk about it. And we ingrain that like early age, that shame about those body parts, like don't talk about it. So even when they're that young, like how we call like okay, arm, hands, shoulder, it's like okay, this is vulva and that's what it is. By the time they get to like 5 to 7 year olds, they should know about the consent. They should know about the personal hygiene and all the topics around that. Like, okay, it's like my daughter, when she was like even 3 year old, she was when they start learning the words, and it's like, okay, she will see the pad. And it's like, what is this? It's like, it's pad. We use it when I get my period. And it's okay. When we are normalizing that conversation, it makes them more easier to understand. It makes them more comfortable to talk to us about it. And also, like when they get to that 8 to 10 year age, that's when, and nowadays we are seeing girls are getting their periods earlier with all the hormones or whatever reason it is, it's the age is getting younger and younger. So when they're knowing about those emotions, it's like, okay, why they are feeling like that, knowing all about their body, knowing all about the periods, knowing about their body and emotional shift, it makes it easier for them to understand that why these changes are happening and what's normal and what's not normal. Like in between that 11 to 14 year old, even like no matter if it's a boys or girls, everybody should know about the menstrual cycle. They should know about the variety of period products. Like, okay, it's not just one thing. I can have this, like, and nowadays it's we are blessed to be living in that era where we have this wide variety of period products. Like you can use this, how to use them. If you're not able to use one thing, okay, might be it's you feel more comfortable using another product, but it's not normal to have pain while using any of the products. So unless and
Right.
until they're not gonna know the normal, they won't know what not normal is.
That's so true. And everybody's normal is different too, right? Everybody is different. So at least to get those guidelines, it's so important. That was actually one of the questions I wanted to ask you, because that's a when it comes to period talk, and talking about the cycles, parents can get very uncomfortable about the whole topic because that was definitely a taboo from the previous generations. So is there a way that we can introduce girls to their cycles? In a way that the parents can be comfortable? Is there like a kind of a basis where they can start introducing it slowly?
Yes, for sure. So it's like, I always feel like kids are very connected to nature. They understand it better when we are showing them something in the nature. And it's like, okay, this is how our body grows and this is how our body changes. So like a very small example, it's like, okay, how the moon have its phases, right? It grow from the full moon to like the smallest, and how it changes, and every phase is beautiful. That's how we want to make them understand that it's the change in your body, and every change is beautiful. And what's normal and not normal, I talk a lot about it. But also, it's like, why do we have periods? It's like your body is preparing for the future growth, for the more development. What exactly happens in the body when you get the period? So, I explained a very beautiful kind of analogy in my book. That it's almost like your uterus is getting prepared to grow a baby. It's like a nest, it's nesting in there. And then it realizes that, like, no baby for now. And then it starts shedding that lining. It's taking the decoration off and it starts decorating it again. So it's almost like showing those changes, but not showing them, like, kind of scaring them. It's like, oh, it's like you're gonna get that periods and you're gonna feel like shit and you feel bad about it, or your body feel, rather than that, like it's a beautiful change in the body and it goes in the phases and everybody gets through it in one or the different way. And it's like a normal body function, just like how we breathe, how we digest our food. Like that's how the period health is.
I like that not the scary, because obviously when it comes to blood, we associate it, when especially when we're little, to something's bad, right? And then so it can be very scary for especially girls to know that this is going to be happening on a regular basis. I like that. We're going to redecorate. We're renovating again. Yeah, I love that.
Okay, like eating and digestion is something, it's like which happens and you want it to happen. That's how the period is something you want your periods to happen. It's important for your body's growth.
Yes, I like that. You give the functionality of it. And that's a little bit how my mom, because she was a nurse, she started off with the respiratory system, the circulatory system, those kind of things. And then she's like, and then we have the reproductive system. And so by the time she got to that, it was more of a informational, scientific, it wasn't anything that made us feel uncomfortable. Like you were saying, it's just like eating and that. And that's what you mentioned. This is what I like about your book, is you really divided it up in the different parts of the body and their role to play with that. So can you kind of explain to us the importance of introducing our children to all of the parts at play, not just the uterus, not just that down there, but there's so much more to that connected, the whole body's working, and it's important to introduce it. Can you kind of share that with us a little bit?
Yes, for sure. So it is important because it's not just about the uterus doing the job and the bleeding and all of that. When girls know a lot more than that about the periods, they feel empowered. Like it's almost like how we talk about the cycle syncing. So in the before, when we used to talk about the cycle syncing, it was totally different. It's like, oh, one person get her period, another person is getting it. That's not the cycle syncing in my experience. The cycle syncing is like, okay, you have the days where you feel low, and you have the days where you feel more productive. And it's all based on your hormones, how the hormones are making those changes in your body. If girls start like from the early age, if they know to track their periods, if they know how to track their ovulation days, if they know how to create the different cycle of the menstruation, they know after a while what their low dose days are, and they know what their productive days are. And they can be more like, with everything, like with the sports, with the training, with the academics, everywhere it can work so much better in their favor because they know that, okay, these are the days after my period where I need more rest. These are the days where I'm more productive and I want to catch up on doing more things in these days. Just overall from the body part too. Like, this is the vulva, this is the cervix, this is what ovary does, this is what the clitoris does. So it's like not adding the shame to any of the body parts, or not just like, how it's like so many memes and so many times it's a joke. It's like, okay, you're a little bit cranky, are you on your periods? It's like, yeah, might be, but not associating it with the negative all the time. Associating it to positive that, okay, there might be the days when I feel low, but also I have these days where I'm way more productive than the other days. Also, a smaller part of it becomes the pelvic floor. It's like, we teach kids about the different muscles. Yeah, if we have a stronger and good lower body muscles, we can do the kicks, we can do this. If we have a stronger arms, we are able to lift more, we are able to do this. But also, the pelvic floor plays such a big role in the overall bodily functions, like everything related to bladder, bowel, and the sexual health. So, if they know about their pelvic floor, if they learn about it will be so much easier. So that, like, I always say, it's like if your kid is going to the doctor or trying to explain you that I have a problem right here, if they know all the names, they will be able to explain you that what exactly happening, rather than just saying there's something wrong down there.
Yeah. No, I like that. It's so true that it builds confidence too, to know that there's something specific, and it's not something to be embarrassed about. It's just like any other body part, if something's not right, you can identify it and find the right way to treat it.
Yeah, 100%. And like when we are talking about the menstrual health, it not just become the menstrual health, because how's the nutrition is, how's the hydration is, so many nutritional deficiencies, like low iron, like, yeah, like the girls are more prone to that because of this whole monthly bleeding. So it's like having all that knowledge really empowers them, I feel.
Yeah, and that's just where it's so important. I can see the link now where when you always kind of relate to feeling low because it's your period, oh, you must be, this kind of you're kind of not giving it the importance that, because yes, low iron is a thing, and everything else that comes with it. It's not just the iron, but the whole body is switching. And so it's important to not downplay that and say, okay, this is what it is. So now you know how to make yourself feel better, and not play, you don't have to be a victim in this. There's something that you can do to make it work. We have to live with this our entire lives, so we got to start strong. I like that you mentioned earlier, and I kind of want to, I figured I'd introduce it right away. You mentioned all the period products and everything that's out there. That could be overwhelming for parents to have to introduce that to their children and how to use it properly and keep the hygiene going and all of that. So is there any information, what kind of information should parents really be sharing with, for their daughters to kind of understand the differences in the products and seeing, some parents may not want their daughters to use certain types of products, and that's okay. But later on, as they grow older, they might want to revisit that. So can you kind of see share with us what information we should be giving our daughters when it comes to the pr different products out there and how to keep the hygiene going in the process as well.
Yes, for sure. So I'm a big believer of like lay all the options out there so that they know that there's this wide variety of products. We don't only just have one option. Especially nowadays, like being in sports, being active, they don't want to be sitting at home and they want to still enjoy things like the swimming, going to a water park, going to the park, going on the slides. So that's why I love to tell them about everything, like the pads. Definitely, like when I grew up, like the pads was the only big thing. And until like very, very old, I never even introduced to the tampons. And I used to feel that, okay, it was at that time. But sometimes it surprises me even how less education we have around it, even at this time. I had one of the moms who wanted me to explain to her daughter all about periods. And she was like, can you talk to her? I'm just not sure what to tell her. And I was like, sure. And I was talking to her and I was explaining all about the period products, that there are pads, there are tampons, there are menstrual cups and discs, there are period underwear, that you have all this. And the first question she had was like, what if I lose the tampon in there? And I was like, you won't. It is like it's not like a never-ending tunnel. It's the vaginal tube, and it's like it will stay in there, and you will be able to. And then we talked about like how you can take it out if it's stuck or you're having trouble with. But I felt like it was the less education we have in the schools, in the community for girls, that even if we are not talking about the period products enough. They will see like somewhere hidden in the ads that yes, there is the pad, there are the tampons, period underwear. But what I feel is like they should be introduced to everything, because not one period product is going to be a right fit or a best fit for everybody. Might be somebody feels more comfortable with the pads, but might be other person feels more comfortable with the tampon. But also like explaining them about like, okay, if you're using tampon, you should be changing in between certain time period because of the toxic shock syndrome. You can't leave it in there for like 10 hours. And read the packaging, like every packaging has, like, okay, how long you should be using it for. And nowadays, as we are getting more like aware towards the environment, here there are the period underwear. There's the reusable cloth pads, and might be they want to, like, once they have all these different options, then they're more open to like talk about it and feel comfortable. It's like, okay, I don't want to use this and I want to use this one. But and that's the thing, like if parents feel like, okay, I don't want my to introduce my kid to this one, fine, there's still so many products. Like if you don't feel comfortable into using the menstrual cups, you still have the pads, tampons, period underwear. Or if you don't feel comfortable with the other thing, there's still like you live with like these three, four different options.
And I could see that too as it gives the options, even if you don't know that much, because I know the period underwear and the period cups are newer. So there's many parents who are not really familiar with it, but give because our body changes over the years too. So it can open up a whole other conversation to say, okay, maybe this is working for you, but if later on you find that this isn't working, there are the other options that you can visit as well. So it opens up that whole conversation about how your body will keep changing over the years. It's not linear at all. And just to kind of get that conversation going as well, to say it's normal if it changes. Because I know for me, after I had my children, it was a whole other different, a whole new body. I wasn't going through the same thing it was before I had my children. So at least it opens up that conversation for women later on. It's so important. In your book, you not only talk about the body functions, but you also talk about po body positivity and self-esteem as such an important thing to add in the education for our daughters, because again, we may be open with our, within the family talking about it, But once you're out there, there's a whole other story that they could hear. So can you kind of, what is one thing that parents could start doing today that would promote that or nurture body positivity for their daughters and kind of help them with their self-esteem moving forward?
So the most important thing I always tell for parents is to nurture body positivity and self-esteem in themselves.
Yes.
They don't learn from what we are telling them. They learn by watching us. If we are not talking positively about our body, if we are not talking about the positive languages, it makes a huge difference. No matter how many times we will tell them that, okay, your body is strong, and but if we're talking about our own body in a negative way, they are listening to that more. They are watching that more. They always learns better by watching us. So kind of like using the positive language, like you know how it's like rather than saying like, oh, my body feels so bloated all the time, it's like, okay, my body's asking me to rest and nourish it today. Always like celebrate the strength. It's like, okay, we see like this language so endless, like, oh, I want to lose weight, I want to lose weight, I want to lose weight. If we keep saying that, our girls are not going to, it's going to be that skinny mindset. It's like, okay, we had to train them. It's like, okay, no, we need a stronger body. I need strength. I don't want, like, it's not about the size of the body because every body is so different. But if you are stronger, like, yes, that's what will serve you better. It's not about what size your body is. It's all about how strong your body is. And like listening to, we need to teach them to listen to their body. It's like, okay, you need to eat when your body is hungry. You need to hydrate. You need to rest. You need to exercise. And all of this, like, we can set up the best example by doing it ourselves. It's not that's like, okay, we are making a schedule for them and they are doing everything. And it's like, no, it's like as a mom, right? If we are not going to accept the changes in our body, because it is going to change, it's not going to stay like that forever. It's the changes, and these changes are beautiful. So if we are accepting as the beautiful changes, they will be accepting those puberty changes more better. So
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
it.
yeah, it's like it's always like show them and let them follow, and they will learn better. And other than that, like, yeah, like more and more resources for them, podcasts, book, conversations around it.
That
But
is so true.
speech is not going to just do the job. You have to show them.
Have to show that I'm always preaching that they learn. They don't listen to us. They watch us.
Yeah.
So it helps us in helping our children. It helps us to also take notice of how harsh we can be on ourselves and the impact we are actually having on our children, not knowing as we could say it as a joke, but for them it's not a joke. It's real. So
And I
that's
watch it every day. Like, I'm learning so much with my daughter. It's like small things. Like, I need to rethink, and I need to always think about how do I explain her. Because she was like, oh, like, why are you putting a makeup on to look more pretty? And I was like, so I have to think, it's like, okay, what am I saying, or what do I tell her? And it's like, you're beautiful the way you are. And like, sometimes I like to dress up more, or sometimes I like to do makeup, and I'm doing it. It have nothing to be like, you have to be the certain way. And there is questions about everything. It's like, oh, can we do yoga? Can we do exercise? And sometimes I will keep telling her, I was like, Mira, you're not drinking enough water, drink water. And then I have to rethink. It's like, okay, am I drinking enough water? And then she, because I will notice, like, every time she will see me like grabbing the bottle and reaching for the water, and she will do the same.
It's incredible how when we think they're not watching, they really are watching everything that we do. It's interesting though. I like that because this is what I like. Your book is so complete, and I would like to say if you want to talk more about your book, can you give us a little bit more about, because you really, like I said, you don't just go about the science behind it and the, like the mechanics of it, but you do talk about emotions, feelings, body positivity, and all that. You really complete the loop on that. So can you just tell us a little bit more about your book?
Yes, so I wanted it to be like science backed up guide, but also fun and engaging for that age group. It's like nobody likes to like read a boring, just like the science book sitting and like just turning the pages. So this really talks about all the body parts for girls, like okay, and what every body part does. It's like why these parts are important, and there's no shame about talking about it, so that there is that open dinner table conversation about the body. And it's like I feel like it's fun, it's engaging, it's age appropriate because it's breaking down those barriers and shame about the puberty and the body changes. It does a good deep dive into the periods. It's like okay, how the different phases of the period so that they can learn about that. It talks about the pelvic health. It talks about when to see the doctor, something being normal and not being normal. It talks about the good and bad bladder habits. It just talks about all about the period product. So I feel it's like a good, small, practical book which somebody will read today and they can apply it from now on. And as you mentioned, I had so many moms is like, oh, it's like I read that book and I felt there were a lot of things I didn't knew.
Yes. That's what I mean. Every woman and every daughter, every girl should have this. And it's such a easy to, like it, because it's not all technical, scientific, it's easy read. So it's something that can actually open up a conversation with your daughters. And that's what I really appreciate about it. So for everybody who are listening, who are not watching the video, but they're listening, I'm showing the book right now in case it's a nice, it's 100 and something pages, not a lot. And it's just amazing. Yes, there it is. Things every girl should know about her body. Honestly, that should be a gift for every daughter. When you know you have a daughter, to go get yourself a book because it's just as helpful for the parents as it is for girls. And if the girls are uncomfortable, they can read a little bit and ask questions if they do. So that's what I really appreciate about your book. It's we really need to have these conversations with our daughters so that they can have hope, instead of just trial and error like most of us had to have growing up. So,
Exactly. Like
yeah.
other day I met a mom and her mother-in-law end up buying it and I exactly remember when she described it that she end up buying it for three granddaughters.
Oh, wow.
And that mom was like, oh, it's like I have your book. Like my mother-in-law bought it for my daughter and my niece. And they all were like, they were on a trip, and girls were sitting in the room and all reading it together. And she was
Oh.
outside, we can hear them giggle. And next morning, you're like, so did you read the book? And they were like, yes. And it was three girls. So she's like, do you have questions? And I was like, oh, yes, a lot of questions. So she was like, then we end up like getting all the boys in one car, and me and my sister-in-law got in one car with girls. And she was like, the whole from Toronto to Kingston, we were just discussing these topics, and they had so many questions because it just opened up that conversation for them.
I love that because I think a lot of the times girls just don't know if they can ask questions, or again, they're kind of embarrassed, they're not quite sure. And like you say, some girls get it younger, some of them get so there's all that, don't want to talk about it too much if you haven't gotten them yet, but all of your friends did. So it takes that all of that taboo out of it, and I think it's wonderful. It it makes it a really interesting car ride.
Exactly.
Do you have anything coming up, or like with new projects? Because I mean that keeps you busy for a while. A book will keep you busy, and you're already busy with your practice. But anything coming up? Anything new coming up for you that you could share with us?
Yes. So I'm working on a digital platform for education for girls in the
Mm.
public health area. I'm working on another book on menopause. And
I can't wait to.
I just I feel like every girl should know about it. Like, I want women to be more empowered and not hiding these issues. Like, no matter it's a bladder leakage, it's a painful intercourse, it's a period pain. There are so many things we never talked about. It was just so hidden. All the symptoms with menopause. So I have all these projects ongoing. But yes, I'm working on the menopause book and the digital platform. Those are two top priorities at this point.
Oh, that's amazing. We really do need those. Something that's easier access, and you can kind of do it at your own pace. So the digital platform would be great. Can't wait for the menopause book. I'm in it right now, and the perimenopause, and then my group of that's a whole other beast. So it'll be great to see that coming. It's a lot of work, but before we wrap up, and we can kind of guide people to you, see if they want to find out more about what you do. I always ask this question, and I can't wait to hear your answer. It's a promise that I made for a little girl. She was interviewing adults asking this question, so I told her I would ask the adults too when I interview them. Then that question is, what do you want to be when you grow up?
So I like it's that's so interesting, like because it's like that. But I think about it every now and then because I was like, okay, I always keep telling everybody, it's like, okay, when I retire, I never want to be retired. I want to travel all over the world talking about pelvic health and like
That's
just
good.
giving that, like sharing that information, empowering girls. But I can bring a little bit of everything. Like I can still continue to do the travel. But for some reason, everything around me these days, I feel is related to the pelvic health, related to the women's health. I
Yeah.
feel like no matter, like even if it's in the party, there is a conversation going on. Gradually, somehow, it will just like kind of start gradually getting towards the pelvic health. And a
Yeah.
lot of times, like we talk about, is like, okay, it's like things we never talk about, but nowadays it's all about the
Yeah. No, I'm sure you have really interesting conversations often. No, but this is great because you're kind of doing it already, so you're already in it. But the travel will just be a bonus to go along with it.
Right, like a lot of speaking engagements, and it's like, yeah,
Yeah.
might be like 1 month here, 1 month there, and it's like, and all like stigma-free education. It's like we're like no shame involved with it.
Yes, we need that more and more now than, just to be able to freely talk about this and educate ourselves because there is still a lack there and it's so necessary. So yes, you're going to be busy for a really long time because I feel like we're just starting now to open up about it a little bit more in an educational way. Like you see so much that's maybe a lot of misinformation. So it's important to get that right. The right basis for it, and then especially to protect our daughters as well. I think it's great. Oh, this is great. Well, I could talk to you all day about this. It's so interesting, and I know some of the listeners are going to have a whole bunch of questions. But how can they reach you or follow you or see all the other work? Because I see you on social media, and you do a lot of these little spurts of information about everything, not just for girls, but for everybody. So where can people follow you or contact you if they wanted to see more of your work?
So I'm very active on my Instagram, which is called the Pelvic Experts. So they can definitely follow me on my Instagram, the Pelvic Experts. They can reach out to me through my website, www.richarehan.com, and they can buy my book and they can get all the information from there.
That's amazing. Yes, and I'll be sure to add that to the description so they know where to get your book and how to contact you if they want to know more about your upcoming work as well. That way that they can follow you. Thank you so much for coming on again. I could keep you on forever. I mean, we could basically just dissect your book and people will keep listening, but I'll leave it to that. We'll have you back on when you're ready to come back again. I just enjoyed, but thank you so much. This is beautiful work and I just appreciate it. I was so excited when I saw it and I was just like, we all need this. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Daniel. Like, I was so excited for this podcast. Like, I really wanted people to know more about it. And when somebody send me a message on Instagram, I always respond back. Like, I do love to answer people's questions. So, yeah.
That's good. Yes, that's what I like to say that too. It's like you're a real person. You will reply. You will, this is what you do for work. So you do have the answers, and you can definitely help. And that we need that thing. So thank you. Thank you so much for the beautiful work that you do.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. So everybody, don't forget to check the description. I will put Rita's all her information on there so you can follow. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening and watching from. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.